At the same time, while this is a small state surrounded in many ways by powerful neighbors, though some of them weakening over time, this small 16th century state had very few, if any, natural boundaries, natural physical boundaries. In many ways, this was a nation sitting in the midst of an open plain. Not surprisingly, in the coming centuries, this country, especially as it aspired to be a powerful force, a world power, an empire, tended to expand in every direction it possibly could, to the Pacific Ocean in the east, often by after crossing the relatively modest Ural Mountains and combating various nomads and other peoples in the area, and then, of course, the frozen expanses of Siberia, far more challenging and daunting than the little Urals were. To the Baltic Sea and the Arctic Seas in the north, to the Black Sea in the south, and as far west as it could, mainly stopped not by natural boundaries but by more powerful states, but eventually occupying what is now present-day Poland and Ukraine and the now-independent state of Belarus. One of the effects of this expansion, of this increasing physical greatness of Russia, was its increasing ethnic diversity. Really, Russia became quite soon a multinational empire, something central in thinking about the nature of this society, this state, this nation. In fact, this was true even before imperial expansion, that Russia's multi-ethnicity, something we often forget. From the earliest times, and now I'm talking really early, about 1000 BC or before 1000 BC, in the European sections of Russia, this was a land filled with diverse tribes, mostly Slavic groups by their language and their ethnic origins, many of whom would eventually be called Great Russians, these original Slavic peoples, but also by Balts, Finns as well. They were joined, again, now we're talking about from about 1000 BC to 650 AD, generally talked about as the prehistory of Russia. They were joined by waves of invaders, not Slavs by any means, many of whom came from Central Asia, who ruled this region, conquered its people, and increasingly, especially as their power waned, mixed with the local Slavs and Balts and Finns. These included, for example, Indo-European groups such as Scythians and Sarmatians, who spoke an Iranian language, giving you a sense of where their ethnic origins are from, and then various other groups, some of which pushed on well into Europe, Goths, Huns, Bulgars, Avars, for example. And finally, most importantly, in the mid-9th century, Scandinavian Vikings, who are called in most of the sources and by historians, Varangians, came from the north, conquered all of these lands with already their great mixture of peoples, and this time established something that no other conquering group had done before, namely a state. And for the first time, this state began to have a name, which was called Rus. Great arguments as to the origins of the name. Many believe Rus was the name of these particular group of Vikings who conquered Russia, but there are other theories as well. This is really the beginning of Russia, and it is a multi-ethnic beginning. Now, as this already diverse country, first, by the way, based in the city of Novgorod in the north, then based in Kiev, now the capital of Ukraine, then in Moscow, as this state expanded, which it did rapidly, it became even more diverse. It really became, by the 18th, 19th century, a great multinational empire embracing both Europe and Asia, and even for a time, when it was in Alaska and northern parts of California, a part of North America. In fact, by the 19th century, this Russian empire covered 1/6 of the land surface of the earth and had somewhere like 70 distinct nationalities within what we call Russia. Just to give you a sense of how people felt about this mighty and powerful nation that is well worth understanding, if only because of its size, listen to these words by one Russian writer writing in the middle of the 19th century. "Russia," he says, "what a marvelous phenomenon on the world scene. How many states can match its 20th, even its 50th part? Russia, a state which contains all types of soil from the warmest to the coldest, mostly the coldest, but he didn't say that, which abounds in all products required for its needs, comforts, and pleasures of life, a whole world, self-sufficient, independent, absolute. And the Soviet Union, of course, would maintain, would inherit, though often used force to ensure the maintenance of this multinational empire until its collapse not so long ago in 1991. And no part, small part of this collapse were the resentments of all these multiple peoples who had become part of the Russian Empire and then the Soviet Union. Now, Russia's great physically, but it's not only great physically and in its great varieties of people. It was also a great social and political and cultural force in the world. And again, this development, its political and cultural importance, was relatively recent. As late, again, as the 16th century, the early 16th century,